Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 2nd of March, recording at 9:15 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. My goodness, what a week it was. It started benignly enough, business as usual, on Monday. But then on Tuesday, China got clobbered, as you know. And stock markets have really been on the defensive ever since. Government bonds rallied a bit during the weakness of stock markets. The US dollar was down slightly, but the big currency story was the yen's rally, as the yen broke its previous downtrends. And elsewhere, crude oil, well, mostly steady in here, although off down a little bit today. It had been up to 62.40, but closed at 61.42. Precious metals, they kind of blinked for a day and a half after the stock market started to move, but then the contagion set in, no doubt helped by the strength that we had seen in the yen. And the metals really were hit hard here today. More on that, precious metals. Industrial metals have held up much better, but they have come off and were all a little bit weaker in here today. Commodities, well, the same news. Check the rally in grains and beans. Cotton has been firmer, as has sugar. And I think that's pretty much it on the main news. Okay, so what's going on here in terms of global stock markets? Well, it is certainly a correction. And as I've been saying, from Tuesday onwards was very likely to be the case. That kind of a downward dynamic that we saw last Tuesday following what had been some rivetingly persistent trends and some quite significant overextensions relative to the 200-day moving averages. I'm going to post a number of those, incidentally, when I get the comment of the day up, and I've written an article on this. That left the markets vulnerable. As you know, I had felt that we were unlikely to see trouble. I've been looking for a medium-term correction this year, but I thought that the danger zone for it was starting in April, and sometime in April, in other words, that being the danger zone through October of this year. Well, it started on the 27th of February, 5 weeks early. In terms of my own expectation. And what can we conclude from that? I mean, previously, we could mainly watch Wall Street, and other markets pretty much took their cue from that. But the catalyst for this sell-off was unquestionably made in China. And that's just a little bit more evidence that we are living in an increasingly multipolar world, because 10 years ago, nobody would have blinked if China's stock market had fallen 9% in a day. Okay, so this is a medium-term correction. I think this is the reversion to the mean that takes stock markets back to their 200-day moving averages. Now, inevitably, as we saw last May and June, with every additional move on the downside, and they've been pretty sharp so far, we will have investors saying, no, this is the big one, this is a bear market. And every view is in with a chance. And if they're right, we can cite the reasons why they would be right. And we could say, well, some bubbles, particularly in Chindia, but a good run, 4 years on the upside with Wall Street not seeing a 10% correction during that period. We could talk about the U.S. financial problems, particularly the in the area of mortgages, which so many people have been talking about here recently. And we could talk about imbalances, which have been around for years. And we could talk about the yen carry trade. My own hunch of all those various different factors, the one that I rate most seriously is not the US housing market, because I think the Fed could cope with that. But the yen carry trade is another matter. And there is a risk that we get a self-feeding asset liquidation that starts as people move to nail down some profits, but that keeps rolling because we get a lot of leveraged speculative positions unwound, and that because of the strength of the yen. And that leads, of course, to an unwinding of the carry trade, which leads to a closure of all sorts of positions that have been driven up by hedge fund speculation and investment. And that would be everything from stock markets to precious metals. So that's the risk. We know what the risks are. Statistically, I think it pays to back the correction. I don't think we had a global bubble by any means. I was concerned about the deviation from the, or extension really, above the 200-day moving averages, as you know. I've talked about that for several weeks and posted a number of examples. So I do think that's important, and that's reason enough for a correction, albeit triggered slightly earlier than I expected. And statistically, of course, we get far more corrections than we do bear markets. I also think that we are not going to have central banks leaning on this correction. And I also think they would try quite hard to avoid it turning into a bear market. And most bear markets are eventually triggered by an excessive tightening, more tightening than the markets can take at that time, and that leads to a knock-on effect in terms of global GDP growth. Well, needless to say, they'll be anxious to avoid that. That's a point that I've made on many, many occasions. That doesn't mean they'll succeed in avoiding it, but what we can be certain of is that sentiment will deteriorate in line with each down day in global stock markets. But as you've seen so many times in the past, that's likely to be a contrary indicator. My best guess is that stock markets will be above today's levels by the end of the year. And I maintain that the next bear market is really not likely to start until well before 2009 at the earliest. But we will see. And from a practical standpoint, because what I've given you is just my guess, and there are no knowers out there, we can only guess on this. But from a practical standpoint, watch the 200-day moving averages on the weekly charts. Because as these markets come down, and you can see from the examples that I've posted or any for any other indices in the in the library, that 200-day moving average is a good trend smoothing device for the long-term trend. And if the long-term trends are still basically intact, and this is no more than a medium-term correction to deal with the excesses that we had seen recently and those extensions above those moving averages, then we will see tests and probably small breaks, get a little bit of an overshoot, small breaks beneath those rising moving averages, followed by bounces by the indices, and then perhaps a successful test of the reaction lows just under those 200-day moving averages, and then markets will begin to firm again. Now, if I'm wrong, then due to the carry trade or whatever else, then we are going to see those indices break down beneath the 200-day moving averages and just keep going, or break them, and because there's a lot of interest at those levels, the whole world will be watching them, then maybe markets bounce a little bit and find resistance at the underside of those moving averages and then resume the move on to the downside. So the market will tell us, as it always does. And my position now, having taken lots and lots of trading profits and removed most of my leverage, I'm not going to have any big positions here for a while. But if I get a successful, if I see the moving averages tested, and if I see them holding, then I will move in and do some buying for my investment portfolio and also for my trading portfolio. But right now, I'm happy to be a spectator. Okay, government bonds. Well, they've firmed in here, not surprisingly, and that's good. We don't want to see a big flare up in yields, but this is not an environment that would create a big flare up in yields. I think what people are now focusing on is, well, they would look at this weakness in stock markets and say, is this going to damage GDP growth? Well, not a 1 week or 4 day move such as we've seen to date, but if we got a serious correction in global stock markets, then that would damage sentiment, consumer sentiment, and also corporate sentiment, and could therefore also damage growth. That's not automatic. In other words, it's not guaranteed, I should say. Remember in the 1987 crash, that was terrifying for investors, but it didn't really affect global GDP growth at all. And one reason, of course, is a lot of liquidity was pumped back into the system, and the central banks are in a position to do that again. So I'm reasonably optimistic that the global economy is going to remain synchronized in a period of further period of GDP growth. Now, the weak card in that pack is the US economy because of the housing situation. We know that. And a significant number of bearish commentators have become more aggressive in the last few days, saying that the US is heading straight for a recession. Possible, but I am a bit more optimistic than that. And we'll see. Okay, moving on to crude oil. The bottom was at 50. I think that will hold. I don't think it will be retested. I think we're on the way back up, but it'll probably be a slow recovery. And I don't expect oil prices to be surging higher. For one thing, Saudi Arabia could increase production a lot if it wished to. And I think if prices were getting back up towards $80, it would certainly be doing just that. But again, this is a supply demand, bigger pardon, a supply and elasticity meets rising demand. The supply is not as inelastic as it is for industrial metals. In terms of that industrial metal action, as long as the global GDP growth remains firm, then I don't think that China's stock market reaction is going to have a big effect on the Chinese economy. So, as long as global GDP growth remains firm, then I think that metal prices are going to continue to surprise on the upside. They may not necessarily race ahead, but they will hold these levels for longer than anybody is expecting. Anybody but myself, I should say, and a few other believers in the commodity supercycle overall, created by this vast increase in the number of countries, many with large populations, that have abandoned their previously moribund economic policies and are all capitalists. And that, with the help of globalization, rapid transfer of technology, is creating more growth in parts of the world that had previously seen very little growth than we have ever seen throughout human history. And that is what's creating the n enormous demand for these industrial metals, industrial commodities generally, in addition to the usual demand that we get from the developed economies. And I expect that story to run and run, as you know. Now, in terms of precious metals, the investment and speculative game has a very big role. Those are the big marginal players in this market, and they tend to be jittery. We've seen that before, and when we got the stock market sell-off last May and June, we saw the big downward moves in here. For the first time since all this selling started, I was tempted to go in and buy some silver today, and it had actually dipped down to 1280, nearly $2 below where I sold my silver on Tuesday. So it's an amazing drop. But it's falling knife zone, and what I've seen in the past on these big sell-offs in precious metals is that when it's over, you get a good bounce, and then they come back and test the low. And so I will continue to watch with interest, but it would be very nice to be able to rebuild a precious metal position against the background of no more than a correction in global stock markets. It would be very nice to rebuild a precious metal position and have the chance to run them on the upside once again. So this volatility, while unnerving and damaging if one isn't being disciplined in terms of stops and sensible trading tactics, is providing ample opportunities. Gold, I mentioned I put up the precious metal charts, or I put three of them up last night, just saying that platinum was in a vulnerable position and commonality, at least in terms of what silver was showing, and to a lesser extent gold was against it. There was lateral resistance for platinum, which had held out the most, but it cracked in here today, down 38 to 1207. So I think it'll come back further. Silver could well be mostly oversold. Gold got clipped today, and it was testing that 650 level. And then when that broke, we got another run on the downside. Gold closing at 642.45. That's down $22. So that's getting interesting again, but again, I'm not going to go rushing in just yet. I'm not interested in heroics in here, but the gold below 650 is back in some prior support, which increases with every dollar on the downside from here. And it's becoming an interesting investment once again. Soft commodities. Well, grains and beans, they've been clipped a bit over the last few days. I mean, partly because of the contagion, and partly because this is the quiet period in terms of crop news. But the patterns in the soft commodities, now I'm talking just about not just about grains and beans, they had that big surge on the upside and then have been in various stages of consolidation, and then until Tuesday, soybeans was leading on the way up again. And I think when the global sell-off here ceases, they are likely to be firm again, and they'll be very, very strong if anything goes wrong with the US crop cycle. Now, there are some depressed commodities that are starting to look quite a bit better. Cotton is one of them. Sugar, I bought a little bit of sugar in here today. That's another one. Sugar is even in a backwardation, which is quite interesting. So, and I don't fear too much downside in something like sugar or cotton when things already been pretty well hammered down. Cocoa's been doing quite well in here recently, but it's still within a base formation overall. So there are interesting developments in the soft commodities as well, and I think they'll provide some interesting rallies over the duration of this year and perhaps beyond. So I think that's pretty much it, folks. And well, I'll just say, have a restful weekend. And yeah, this was a pretty dramatic week and a bit scary, but it goes with the territory, and it also creates opportunities. And we'll talk more about those come next week. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. Relax and enjoy.